Last Sunday, and then again today, we hear reference being made by Jesus to the manna, that heavenly bread that came down to the people of Israel as they made their 40-year journey through the desert. And that is as we talked about last Sunday, a type, that is to say, a foreshadowing of the Eucharist, which is our daily bread, which is our food for the journey. Now, that same theme, of course, is represented as well in the first reading today. Elijah the prophet eating and drinking this heavenly food and drink is also a type or a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. And one really interesting thing is, if you take this idea of food for the journey, translated into Latin, what does it come out as? Viaticum. Which, for those of you who may be familiar, we refer to the Eucharist as Viaticum when? When you're lying on your deathbed, right? When the priest comes and gives you last rites, the last sacrament that he gives you is the Holy Communion. And we call it, at that moment, Viaticum, food for the journey. Why? I mean, surely every time you come to receive Holy Communion, it is food for your journey through this life. Why call it specifically Viaticum at the moment of death? Because I think it reminds us of the eschatological nature of the Eucharist. There's a good word that you can impress your friends with at parties, right? Eschatological. Everybody say that with me. Eschatological. Very good. From the Greek word meaning the eschatos, meaning the last, the final things. These are the things that the Eucharist helps us focus on. Elijah goes on this journey, right? In fact, the angel makes it very apparent that he needs this food for the journey. He doesn't just feed him one time, but twice. He says, get up, eat, drink, or else this journey will be too long for you. Well, where is he going? He's going to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. It's another word for Mount Sinai, where God came down to earth and gave the Ten Commandments. So he's going looking for God, looking to be in the presence of God. Again, what does Jesus say in the gospel? Not just, I am the bread of life, in the sense of, I'm going to take care of you every day here in this daily life. But he says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. That's the life that he's really talking about, eternal life, about entering into heaven. And so that's why the Eucharist is eschatological. It helps us to focus on where we are going on this journey of life. If you've ever had to walk across something like a tightrope or a balance beam, or even just like a bridge that's up really high and you don't really want to walk across it if you're afraid of heights like myself, you know, what do people always say? Look at the other end, right? Don't look down. Keep your eyes focused on the other end, and then you can walk across safely. Well, that's what the Eucharist is. That's what Mass is all about. It is about focusing on the final things, the eternal things, the important things. If we could only see what was going on here at Mass, the angels ministering to God right here, right now, bringing Jesus Christ himself, the King of glory, down from his throne to this altar to change the bread and the wine into his body and blood through the priest. If we can only see the choirs of saints surrounding us right now, praising God, worshiping God, praying for all of us. If we can only see the angels and the demons, because they're here too, fighting over us right now, fighting over our hearts and our minds, the demons trying to distract us, to take our attention away from what is going on here at Mass, the angels fighting to free us, to give us the opportunity to really focus on the things that are important in life. It always amazes me when people say, you know, I don't want to go to Mass because it's boring, right? The music is not my favorite, or the priest's homily is really awful. I don't want to dress up fancy, or this so-and-so is going to be there, and God knows I don't want to see him or sit next to her, right? Are you kidding me? This is like the most important thing you will ever do in your life. Come here to Mass and enter into heaven. receive Holy Communion, receive already that sacramental presence of the last things, the real purpose of life. So that's what we always have to keep in mind, this eschatological nature of the Eucharist, that it makes heaven present to us now so that we really have the food for the journey that we need to get there, to make it to the end of the journey. You know, I've been bringing up some of the different Eucharistic miracles during this time, you know, to help us think about our faith in the Eucharist. And one of the great ones that we always share with our kids in second grade, who are getting ready to make their first Holy Communion, is the story of Blessed Imelda Lambertini. Blessed Imelda was a little Italian girl, and there was one thing that she wanted in life, and that was to receive Holy Communion. But she lived in a time when you had to be 12 years old to make your first Holy Communion. And so one day when she was 11, so not yet able to receive, there she was after Mass. Most people had left, and she was still kneeling there on the steps of the sanctuary praying, when all of a sudden, a host appeared floating in the air above her head. Some of the nuns who were still around cleaning up for Mass were like flabbergasted, as you might imagine, like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? They were like, we better go get the priest. So they ran and they got the priest, and he came out and he was like, oh my goodness, this must be a sign from God that little Imelda is supposed to make her first Holy Communion, because they all knew that was what she really wanted in life. So the priest came with his paten, the little golden plate, you know, that we use at Mass, and picked the host out of the air, put it on his paten, and then he gave Blessed Imelda her first Holy Communion. And it was the happiest day of her life. She was so filled with joy, so completely happy, that she literally collapsed there on the floor of the church and died. Now, I mentioned two Sundays ago how I also tell the kids the story of St. Tarsicius, who also died. So one time when I told that story, one of the little boys raised his hand and said, how come everybody you tell us about dies? It's the facts of life, kid. What can I say? But why? Why would God do that? Why would he, in the moment of her first Holy Communion, why would he take the life of this little child, if not to teach us that the entire goal, the entire purpose of life, is to enter into heaven, enter into holy communion with Jesus Christ? If we have accomplished that in life, there's nothing left to accomplish. We're ready to go to heaven. That's what Blessed Imelda shows so powerfully by her life and by her very holy death. So let's end with, again, reflecting on some of the things we do here around Mass. How do we keep that kind of focus, that eschatological focus, as we come here to Mass? You know, one way that we actually don't do anymore, and I think it's kind of sad that we don't do it, is it used to always be the case that when we offered Mass, that the people and the priest all faced the same direction. They call that Mass ad orientem. You can say it means being oriented to Christ. That, like, we're all focusing together on Jesus Christ. That's the idea. Now, I know, of course, some people don't really like that idea that the priest should have his back towards the congregation while he's praying the Eucharistic prayer and things like that. And I'm not saying that there's not value in having Mass with the priest facing all of you. But for almost 2,000 years, the church has done it that way, with the priest and the congregation all facing together the same direction. So there is value. There is value in offering Mass that way, because it helps us to remember that we are focused on something together. Where are we going? What is our focus? What is our journey in this life? So I think we might experiment a little bit this winter with Mass ad orientem. But even if you're not at Mass ad orientem, we can all still have that focus. And that focus should be the crucifix. That's what the crucifix is there for in Mass. That's why it's so prominent. That's why I have my own crucifix on the altar, so that we are all focused together on Jesus Christ. Right? I mean, certainly I hope that when we are here at Mass, here at church, that you're not just staring at me the whole time, right? I'm not that terribly interesting. I'll never forget the time that there was this fly buzzing around my head at Dream Mass, and I thought, I'm just going to ignore this fly, and it will go away. And so then we started singing the Holy, Holy, and I shut my eyes, and that fly landed right on my nose. I thought I was going to burst out laughing. So I'm not always the best thing to look at Mass. You know, so keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, that eschatological perspective, that we are focused on the last things, the eternal things, the best things, and the Eucharist is the food for the journey, the viaticum that helps us to get there. If we can have that perspective, then every time that we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that food for the journey, we will be able to pray also in the same breath, thy kingdom come.